Okay, the next one is one with a question. So if I say, Chris, what's the relationship between your job right now and your job a year ago?
Well, it's somewhat the same, but there's different aspects as well because I'm traveling a lot more, but I'm still doing training. It's just that I'm traveling a lot more than I ever have.
Okay. So ask that question. And again, the question is, what's the relationship between your job now and your job a year ago? So we have sameness with exception and difference. And if your partner said, well, actually, what did Chris say? Remember? She's same, but I'm doing more travel and it's different in certain kinds of ways. So that's more sameness with exception. It's pretty much, but here's the exception to that. If she just said, well, it's pretty much the same.
But.
With no but. It's just pretty much the same.
Or it could
I'm still
be
working at the same place. Doing the same thing.
It's totally different. I'm in a different job. I live in a different city. It's like a total different
position.
If
somebody's really different, they don't even have to say any of that. They'll just go, oh, it's totally different. I'm traveling this year. Could be the same job exactly, but they'd perceive it that way. Somebody who's really sameness could have her same job and go, oh, it's the same. And you go, well, aren't you traveling a lot? And you go, yeah, but I'm doing the same work. So sameness with exception and difference. And this one that Roger Bailey did some research with back when he was developing this, he found about 65% of the population was here with their careers. And then these two were evenly divided amongst the rest. Now, some of the meanings of this, people that are sameness-oriented on the job are likely to last forever on the job. They're the ones that'll stay 30 years on a job and get the gold watch at the end. The sameness with exception people will last about 7 years, and then they'll have to change something significant. May not be the whole job, but they have to be changing the assignment. In relationships, have you ever heard of the seven-year itch?
Yes.
It's like after 7 years or so, people start going, oh, yeah, something's got to change here. Difference people will tend to, on the job, last about 18 months to 2 years, and they have to have a change, a significant change. Anybody here a job hopper? You've had a lot of jobs in your career. You probably more like difference in some way, and you might check what you answered on that. So this is one I find really fascinating by a lot of different contexts. So we have a clock that's associated with it. So if you need a long-term employee and they show up difference, they probably won't be unless you make sure that they keep getting significant change in their work. Now again, this one's one that makes it really obvious by context changes. How many of you have had your furniture arranged pretty much the same way for a long time? It's just comfortable with it, stays with the way it is, you don't have to rearrange it. Who rearranges it frequently? Well, like every year or two anyway. Yeah, that'd be frequently. Yeah. So that would be, I need difference. So if you're a couple and I want to rearrange it every 6 months and she's sameness, what do you think is going to happen? It'd be a potential conflict, right? Or there are a lot of great examples of this. One of that advertisers have known intuitively forever. You're all familiar with Tide detergent, yes?
Yes.
It's in an orange box or an orange bottle. It's been in an orange box or an orange bottle for
ever.
Whenever, probably, I don't know, at least when I was a little kid, and probably way before that, so it's been there for at least 15 years. But think back. It's always been in this orange box with the little circle on it with the blue and the red, right? And then what does it say on it? So that's the box is always the same in some way, very similar. Even when they've updated it, it's still got the same colors and the same kind of look to it. And then what does it say on it? New, right? Who's that
new
for?
And new
and improved.
Oh.
So words like that indicate exception are like more or less or improved or better or worse. All those kind of words that imply it's the same and there's some exception to it. So Tide would be a great example of a product that where somehow they're appealing to everybody's meta program for that.
How many people remember the new Coke?
Oh, yeah.
They were the new, yeah, see? Coca-Cola years ago decided to create a new formula for Coke, and they called it, yeah.
I'll give them the backstory.
Okay, go ahead.
It's an interesting story. Pepsi-Cola went to all these malls and they did this taste test. And I remember actually being in the mall and there was a booth set up and it said, taste this and this, which one do you prefer? And then you chose it. And then they tell you whether it was Coke or Pepsi. And more people chose Pepsi on a blind taste test. Pepsi has more sugar in it, so it's sweeter. But so more people chose that, so that worried Coke. So Coke came out with New Coke. And the way they did that is they did the same kind of testing until they got more people liking the new Coke than the Pepsi. Then they said, well, we did our own testing, reformulated it. Now more people like new Coke than they do Pepsi. What do you think happened to new Coke?
It went away.
It totally bombed. People don't want new Coke. People want their old Coke. They want their old Coca-Cola. They want their own Coca-Cola, right? You don't want a new one every time. Think of McDonald's. You know, McDonald's is pretty much the same. A lot of their menu is the same anywhere in the world that you go. Often they'll have one or two regional things that are different. But, you know, you can get the little hamburger, I think, anywhere, the Big Mac anywhere, and it's the same. But what if they were different every time? Do you think that would throw their business off? If you couldn't trust the burger to be the same one, people go there because they know what to expect. That's why franchises can be so successful. People are often the sameness sorting for that kind of stuff. But New Coke totally bombed. So eventually they got rid of the New Coke, went back. They started calling the old one Classic Coke. Then they dropped the Classic, and now we've got the old Coke rather than the new Coca-Cola. Yes?
So the other part of the story, which goes into criteria, is that Pepsi never had more sales than Coke. So how could that be if Pepsi would have better tasting cola? And what they found out is on an initial test, or just one taste, people preferred Pepsi, but when it came to drinking a whole can, that it was too sweet and they wouldn't finish a whole can of Pepsi. Mm. They preferred the Coke. So as an ongoing experience, the criteria for Coke matched people's criteria better than this you know, taking one sip. Mm. So if you're going to drink a whole can, people prefer Coke. But if you're going to take one sip, then they would say that Pepsi was tasted better.
Interesting. Very interesting. Yeah.
So Roger Bailey one time was doing some consulting, and this is back in the 80s, and somebody had developed a new way for meter readers to read meters, which was a handheld calculator. Before that, the meter readers that would go and read your gas meter or whatever would have these cards, like computer cards, and they'd come and they'd have a stylus and they'd punch out what the numbers were on each house. Any of you remember those? Back in the early 80s? But then somebody came up with a new instrument that they could do like a handheld calculator. So they could go in and plug in your address number and then the what your meter said, and they could do it in about half the time. So the guy that developed that went to all the power companies and said, I've got a revolutionary new product that'll totally blow everything you've seen out of the water. It's absolutely different than anything you've ever seen. It'll speed up your process like crazy. What do you think they said? Why?
Because it was different.
What do you think of a power company? Think they're going to be the sameness sorters or different sorters? It's power is pretty much a very sameness kind of industry. Interestingly, do you know who invented the mouse for the computer?
Yeah.
Xerox. And Xerox had an R&D department. But what's Xerox's whole identity about?
Copies.
Copies, making the same thing over and over again, right? And but anyway, they had an R&D department. This is back in the 80s and the early 80s. And of course, there were all these strange people down there with beards, and they looked unkempt and stuff. And basically, developed this suspicious stuff called a mouse. And Steve Jobs heard about it, and eventually was able to purchase all that idea and became the Mac. But it didn't fit the company image at all. This idea of something that was very different. And so the R&D department was proposing it as something totally different. A lot of those guys actually ended up migrating over to Apple, is my understanding afterwards. So sameness with exception and difference. And this can be a real key one for all kinds of things. So Roger Bailey, with this handheld thing, consulted with the guy that made it and said, used different language. She said, going to say, this is exactly the same as you've been doing for the last, since computers came out. And it will save you time and money. So when they've got it in the sameness category, it's just something that would be better, more efficient, so to speak, then they were open to buying it. So if I say, what's the relationship between these three things? Go ahead and say it out loud. What's the relationship between these?
Markers.
How many said, well, they're all markers? That's okay. In the context of these, you're probably sameness sorting. How many of you said one's at a different angle? Did you notice that? Or?
I said that one was right side up, and the other one's upside down.
Yeah, one's upside down. Okay. So you notice the difference. What's different?
Not
here?
Right away, though.
How many of you said, well, somebody, was it you, Sky, said, well, they're all markers, but they're different colors.
The cases are all different.
Well, also one is for that, one is for paper.
So they're the same, but there's exceptions, functional exceptions. Mo?
When you said the word relationship, it made me think of what's similar about it. I didn't think of it as what's different about them.
Yeah.
What's funny is when you just had two in your hand and I kind of knew what the question was that you were going to ask, I sorted for the difference, the different colors, and then you pulled the third one in, and then I sorted for similarity.
So the point of it, if I go, what's the relationship between this? What would you say? You change it because notice that's even a subtle difference in the context, doesn't it? You start adding one. If I put another five up here, it might change the context again. So the reason this is the reason I'm doing this is to point out the context is really the key to better program. That's why they're not like personality tests or something. By the way, the idea of relationship, you mentioned that, the word. What I find is often with people are real different sorters, they don't know what you mean by relationship. And they'll say, what do you mean relationship? What? It'll just be kind of a confusion point. So for you, it said sameness, and for people who are real different sorters, like, what? Sometimes. So, of course, the pacing language here. One time I did a team building, and it was with the Forest Service. I've done a lot of consulting with the Forest Service. Actually, Susie and I did the team building years ago. And these were silviculturists. We did a team building with the silviculture department, a big forest up in Oregon. If you think about silviculturists, those are tree scientists. What do you think they would be more likely to be as a group? They were very much sameness, except one guy. And when we sat down with them, we said, so what do you want to accomplish with this team building? One first person that spoke up was proactive and a different sorter. And he said, we need some bold new directions around here. We need to take new actions and, you know, totally revitalize what we're doing. What do you think all the other people in the room did? They all looked at him like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, you know. We need to just figure out how to communicate more effectively, you know. So they were mostly in this area. You can often find occupations this way. What do you think a historian would be likely to be?
Same.
History professor. Typically, I mean, it's going to be more likely to be here. History isn't going to change a lot, probably. How about, what's that? Yeah, well, it could be, but I think that'd be the exceptional person. Some people have given the same lecture for 40 years, too. As a group, what do you think teachers might be? Sameness and sameness with exception. Years ago, when I was first learning about NLP, I thought, our best market's going to be education, because look at all the things we can do to enhance learning. And so we met with educators, and they were going, well, wow, that's pretty amazing, but, you know, we've already got our curriculum all set up, and we don't really want to have to change it, you know. So a lot of sameness. Same with medical profession. Doctors, nurses often sort for sameness. Even there's new technology, but still we're sorting for the sameness. Other entrepreneurs, where do you think they'd be?
Different.
They're looking for what's new and different, right? Now, you could be a sameness teacher, but still sort for what's new and different in some technological way. So again, it's going to change by context. And I'm giving gross generalizations. Every teacher wouldn't be here. Some teachers are going to be way down here too. But when you get this, when you'll know a lot, can predict a lot about how somebody will be in a particular situation. And it can make you think about what changes you might make and how it's going to affect people. When we first did our very first NLP practitioner training back in 1985, we had written it with all the language perfect for different sorters. We had our first group come in, and we had 27 people way back then. And it was like a wild ride.
Wacko.
In a good way, though.
In a good way. I mean, some of the people were really brilliant. But they were the really early adapters. They were looking for everything that's different. Now we're more, I think, in the middle here, as a general rule. Okay. Questions? Comment?
Yes, Irma.
Wonder how we can use it with a client. I mean, how can I use when I identify? How I can use it?
Well, you'd want to use pacing language for one thing.
Oh.
So here we'd say words that sound like the same. And here we'd use words like more, less, worse, better. And here words like different, new. So if you're presenting yourself to, and once you determine what this is, it can tell you just how to organize your language so that it makes sense to the person and it'll fit with their model of the world.
Can I say something? My sister sells a product and her brand is all about change. And so, you know, she presents it that way. And I said, but you know, a lot of people don't like change. So even if your product is changing, show those people how it could be the same and then change.
Brilliant.
So I think, you know, when you're talking to people, even if your product and your brand is changed, you have to see all these different ones that you're talking to.
Yeah. It's like the computer thing, right? Where it's just like your old system with the cards. It's the same as you've been doing forever, and it's more efficient.
Yes, and usually they like more efficient the same
ones. And it will save you money. And you know, those kind of things. And so that way, they like it, but it's still the same. So we're safe. We're safe with the sameness. Yes?
Well, when the iPad came out, that was completely different. And it's really hard to get it. I mean, it's all the same right now. Everybody's posting on what was different back then, which is now the same. Maybe with a little exception here or there.
Well, and with that, you know, they talk a lot about who are the early adapters they're aiming at. So they've, you know, like Apple and some of those, a lot of the companies will profile who's going to buy it first. And then that's the group they're trying to sell it to. Because there are a lot of people that go, well, I'm going to wait and see. One of my best friends is the guy that runs the training programs in Mexico. And I'll be going there and training next week. Juan Francisco. And I tend to like the new things. And so their new computer comes out and they say, Tim, can you bring this to me? Because it costs a lot more to get it down there. So I'll often have to go buy him something, bring it down. And his wife, she is not ready for that. And she says, Tim, don't show up here with another gadget. Because she's saying, wait and see if it's any good. Chris is like that too. Prius comes out and I go, let's get a Prius. And she said, let's wait a couple of years till they perfect it. So we waited, and now the model we have was the one rated the best, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because they worked the bugs out of it, so to speak. So I'm really proactive, an early adapter and all of that. So I was ready to get one right away, and Chris is more this and more reactive, and so we took a little more time with it. Yes?
Don will never buy a car the first year it comes out. He always waits for the second or third year to make sure all the quirks and kinks are out of it.
How many of you do that? So in the context of cars, you might be more in that
similar,
kind of
position.
We're a little more reactive, a little more this way.